May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we hail and worship this day, the one who took up His cross to deliver us all. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, God's word to Jeremiah and to us. We pray. Lord, you promise that your word will accomplish what you desire it to accomplish. It would never return to you empty. Accomplish in us what you desire this day. May we all be glad hearers of your word, receive it in faith, give us strength and power and guidance and knowledge. Every blessing from heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin with a question today. Is First Lutheran Church a ball or a wall? That's kind of an odd question. But it's really one or the other. If you were to draw our church besides the building, would you draw a ball or a nice ball, or are we a wall? And for that matter, you as an individual Christian living in this world, are you a ball or are you a wall? It's really one or the other. In the Old Testament reading, God says to Jeremiah the prophet, a young man, He says, I will make you to be a fortified wall of bronze to the people. Jeremiah, you're my prophet. You are to be a wall to the people. And that kind of struck me. A wall of bronze to the people. And the great temptation of the church, though, is not to be a wall. Our greatest temptation as Christians in the church is to be a ball. We'd rather be a ball than a wall. Which are you? And how about our church as a whole? And how about the church worldwide, for that matter? First of all, a church is always tempted, you and I are always tempted, to be a ball as we face the world. What do I mean by that, a ball, Pastor? Well, a ball is easily moved. A ball will go in whatever direction you want it to go. You push it that way, it goes that way. Push it that way, it goes that way. That way, it goes that way. It offers little resistance. It goes where you want it to go. And a ball is fun. We all like ball. Come on. There'll be 100,000 people in Neyland Stadium hoping the ball ends up in Tennessee's end zone, with Tennessee holding the ball next this coming Saturday. Well, it may not happen all that. Oh, it's Montana, come on. We like ball. Football, baseball, basketball, the soccer ball. Balls are harmless, they're fun. They go where you want them to go. They offer a little resistance, easily move a ball. And the greatest temptation of the church is mentioned, and the Christian is to be a ball in the world. To be easily moved and go the direction of the world. Wherever the world wants to go, I'll go for the sake of peace. To get along and for the church to be popular, be well-liked, to pack the pews. We'll go in any direction the world wants us to go, be easily moved, offer a little resistance to the world out there because we just all want to get along and happily ever after. As Pastor mentioned, that's the easy route. That's the route we like to go. And that's the route the church in Jerusalem was going in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah was a young man when called to be a prophet. He's like 20 years old, we think. Fresh out of the seminary, even younger than that of the seminary, right, Pastor? Young man, probably a priest. And God calls him to be his prophet. And they're in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem at this time was a sewer of sin. It was at its low point in history, really. This is around 600 B.C. And as I've talked about in Bible class and with the confirmation kids, there were three big eyes of sin in Jerusalem that are part of us today. There was much injustice, much immorality, and all this caused because of the big capital I, much idolatry. The holy city of Jerusalem, David conquered it and brought the ark there, and Solomon built the temple. The holy city, there's great idolatry and every other sin associated with that. Back in that day, they worshipped Baal. Baal was the rain god, supposedly. Asherah was his girlfriend, the goddess of the earth. Rain hits the earth, crops grow, you have food, you can sell your crops and make money. And so many people worshipped Yahweh, the true God, in the temple. Then they went out on a Sunday afternoon picnic, and they worshipped Baal. Went on the high places, that's sacrifice to Baal, so we have some rain today. And they actually brought in pagan temples in the temple, we think. They brought in pagan idols and altars in the temple of God. And they tried to worship God and Baal or Asherah in the same house. This is like us bringing in Buddha, praying to Allah today along with God. This is an abomination to God. He shares his glory with no one. He is God, there is no other. It was all an attempt by the people to get along with the world. If God can't help us, Baal will help us. If Baal can't help God, we'll cover our bases here. A smorgasbord of religion. Pick what you want. An utter abomination to God. And the church being a ball. Let's just roll with the world. Go wherever the world wants us to go. Peace, happiness, we all get along. And so we sense this in our world today also. The world doesn't want us to preach a whole lot about sin, hell, judgment. And so some Christians and churches don't talk a whole lot about that because it might offend somebody. They might leave church. They might not come back. And the world doesn't want to hear a whole lot about abortion. And 75% think it's okay now. So let's just avoid that topic and not say it's downright murder of a child. We might offend somebody, give somebody a guilt trip. We'll avoid that one. Or another big one's homosexuality. We'll say that's okay. We'll avoid that, not talk about it. Not tell people they got to repent like every other sin you got to repent of to be saved. We'll just avoid it to get along. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't need to leave over that, do we? That's being a ball. Let's roll with the world. And certainly the world doesn't want to hear there's only one God, the Blessed Trinity, and that Jesus the Son is the way to heaven, the way to the Father. That's way too narrow-minded, so we'll just say that whatever you want to believe is okay. Be sincere, we're all going to heaven, we're all God's children, it doesn't matter. And this is the church being a ball rolling down the hill, except the hill leads to hell, not just down the hill. And the world doesn't want to hear a lot about baptism. What's that? Communion? A little bread and wine? Why do you have that? These deeper mysteries of the faith, the Word of God, liturgy, an organ, choir. World doesn't like that stuff, so we'll just throw it all out and shout and make things really, really easy for people. Make it shallow and simple and we'll pack the pews. They won't learn anything, but hey, they'll be here and we'll have their money. And this is the church being a ball. Rolling, rolling, rolling on down the hill. And once you get a ball rolling down a hill, it's hard to stop. It keeps rolling. May we as individual Christians and we as a church never ever be a ball. But may we be a fortified wall of bronze. What a great word of God to Jeremiah and by application to the church today. I will make you little bitty puny Jeremiah, a 20-year-old, scared, trembling young man. I will make you to be, to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, Jeremiah. They're not going to like to hear it. But they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Don't be a ball and get along, Jeremiah. You are to be a wall. What does that mean for the church to be a wall? The mission of our church and school, the mission of the church is to be a bronze wall to the world. What does that entail? A couple things. It means we stand up for the truth. We don't apologize for truth. We don't compromise the truth. We're not afraid of speaking the truth. We're bold and courageous with gentleness and love always. Humility, yes, always. We never think we're better than anybody else, but we speak the truth. We're firm. Even though the world may not want to hear it, someone we talk to may not want to hear it, we're firm in the truth. Stand up for the truth. This is the call of God to Jeremiah. You're a young man, you're scared, you're trembling, you're 20 years old. Stand up for the truth, Jeremiah. Tell this people that I hate idols. I will not stand for idolatry and any other sin. And tell them if they continue in their idolatry, I will punish Jerusalem. I'll knock down the walls of this temple. I'll get rid of all the idols. Exactly what God does. 586 BC, the destruction of Jerusalem, the 9/11 of the Old Testament. God sends judgment and knocks down, burns Jerusalem, knocks down the temple. Many people are killed because of their idolatry and their wickedness. They won't repent. Jeremiah, your job is to tell them, warn them. Judgment's coming. Repent of your idolatry. Stand fast with my word, Jeremiah, and don't give in. Don't budge an inch. And praise be to God, Jeremiah, full of the Holy Spirit, does that. He's a lonely man. We call him the weeping prophet. He's off in the corner weeping and crying because he has no friends. And he's persecuted, placed in stocks, ridiculed, spit on by the people, thrown in a pit to die, to make fun of again. Rushed out in the temple one time. They rush at him when he's preaching judgment on Jerusalem. They're trying to kill him and stone him. He bears his cross. But he stands firm. And so the great call of the Christian today is to be firm in the truth. This is not easy. This means that we speak about sin. And you're right, we talk about hell. There is one. And this means we talk about judgment coming. It's coming. Greater than Babylon destroying Jerusalem. We must talk about these things because it's the truth. Even if the world doesn't want to hear it, it's the truth. We don't pick and choose what truth we want to speak. And we do talk about abortion. Not all the time, but we do say it's murder. And we say that homosexuality, along with every other sexual sin or any other sin, is sin. And God hates it. You must repent of it. It's not okay. Repent and be saved. We must speak that even though once the world says, no, you're being way too narrow-minded, but we speak this because it's the truth. I didn't make up the truth. God did. And we speak God's truth to the world, as unpopular as it may be. And we tell the world that there's only one God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus Christ and His cross is the only way to paradise. The only way. There's no other way. Salvation and no one else. We tell them even though they hate it. And they may want to persecute us. And it's very unpopular. And we get called names. Because it's the truth. We're firm in the truth. We're on God's side, not the world's side. We're a wall, not a ball. You know, I was watching an animal video the other day. It is the most popular animal video, I guess it's out there on the internet. It was a guy, it was also on a safari in Africa, an amateur video he caught. And they came to a watering hole, and the guide stopped the safari there at the watering hole because animals were there. And there is a herd of water buffalo coming up to drink. And a few of the water buffalo kind of wandered off, and they wandered near lions. All right, let's see what's going to happen here. The guy's all excited. And the lions chased after these wayward water buffalo. And the two big ones get away like always, but the little bitty baby buffalo, a lion jumps on his back, and they tumble into the watering hole. So he jumps on the back of this buffalo, and they tumble in the watering hole. And guess what comes along in the water? A crocodile. And the crocodile grabs the leg of the baby buffalo. The lion's grabbing the neck, and they're playing tug-of-war with the baby buffalo, and I'm weeping and crying for the baby buffalo. And after a little while, this guy's catching all this on video. And the crocodile relents and gives up, and the lions drag the poor thing up on the ground, and they're being lions, chewing on its neck and slapping it around. Guess what happens next? The whole herd of water buffalo, the entire herd comes running towards the lions. They're mad. These are water buffalo. And the big males with the big horns, they come right up to the lions. One kicks the lion out of the way, another throws him up in the air with his horns, and they chase the lions away, and I'm clapping, all right. And then guess what happens? The baby buffalo gets up and walks away. He's not even hurt. With a crocodile and lions chewing on him, he's fine. David versus Goliath. You see why it's popular. And I thought to myself, some lousy, ugly water buffalo are so bold. We're sheep. We're weak, vulnerable sheep. And yet, where is the boldness of the church to stand up for the truth today? We should be bold, not because we have some inner power. We have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd who leads the way. His name is Jesus. He's already conquered sin, death, and hell by his own death and resurrection. He's conquered all enemies. He's conquered the world and death, the devil, sin. It's all taken away. He's our good shepherd. He leads the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk out there and it's a shadow of death. There's evil all around me. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's time to stand up, church, and be bold for the truth. Be humble, be gentle, be loving, be patient with people, but speak for the truth. But then it's a bronze wall. We are firm, and yet we are ever forgiving people. The wall is made of bronze, God says. This is not a wall of dirt or clay or rock. It's a bronze, shiny kind of wall. It's going to be attractive. People are going to see this and be drawn to it. Why bronze? Back in that day when you saw bronze, you would perhaps think of a couple things. You might think of the brazen altar in the temple. When you entered the glorious temple, you would see the brazen altar, the altar made of bronze, a big altar where they sacrificed the animals. And it was a place of forgiveness, a place of mercy, a place of grace. God is taking that poor lamb instead of me. God is not counting my sins against me. Bronze was a symbol of strength, but strength and mercy, strength and forgiveness, strength and compassion, strength and love. You would think about that. And then also you think of the bronze snake, probably. That great story of the people grumbling in the desert. God sends snakes to bite them. They cry out. And so God has Moses put a bronze snake on the pole. And they look at that bronze snake. They live. They're healed. Again, bronze, a symbol of mercy, of grace, of love, of patience, forgiveness. And so Jeremiah, be a wall, be firm, but also be forgiving. Have a softness in you for people. Never lose that. Speak of my grace. Speak of my mercy. Be a wall, but tell people there's a great opening in that wall into the church, and it's Jesus. We, the church, speak of sin, but we doubly speak of salvation. We speak judgment, but doubly and triply we speak of Jesus, because he saves. We speak of hell, we must, for there is a hell. But doubly, triply, we speak of heaven. And it all happens through the blood of our Lamb, Jesus. His cross is the altar of sacrifice. He is the bronze snake. We look to Jesus. We speak of Jesus. We preach the law, but doubly and even more, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins for all that would repent of idolatry, immorality, injustice. There's forgiveness for you. Repent and come and be saved. The door is open. Come. That's the message of the church. A hurricane hitting the East Coast. What's the dual message that must occur when the hurricane is coming? There must be two messages. One is a warning. A hurricane is coming. Here's the weather map. If you deny it, don't believe it, here is the weather map, dummy, okay? Right there is a big storm. It's coming towards you. Even if they deny it, they don't want to believe it, you show them, here's the map. A storm's coming. Whether it's a one, two, or three, it's coming. Big winds, rain. That's one thing you must share. There must be something else even more important. Get out. And here's the way out. Get into your car, turn on the engine, and drive out and get out. There's the road. Get on it and go out and be saved. Take your family with you. Bring friends. Get out or you might die. That, I suggest, is even more important. And so the church ever warns of a great hurricane coming. It's called Judgment Day. It is coming. God will judge the heavens and the earth and you and I and all people. We warn the world. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. But even more so, here's the way out. The way out is Jesus. The way out's the cross. He's the only way out. And there's no traffic jam on Jesus. You can get right on. Get in the church. Be baptized. Get in the church. We're taking you there. We're down the road called Jesus. We're following Jesus. Get in and be saved now. And we do that even more so. We warn people and we teach them the way out, which is Jesus. So, may First Lutheran Church, may you and I not be a ball rolling, rolling, rolling down with the world. May God fortify us with the Holy Spirit, with grace and power, that we be a wall, firm and yet ever so forgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.